What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Between Two Tackles. I'm your host, Alex Spinelli, and alongside me, as always, is Ray Volo. Ray, my man, just a little over a week before the NFL draft. I am so excited. Today, massive episode. We're staking our claims on these prospects. We got the My Guys episode. How we doing, buddy?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite ones every year because this is literally, we're planting flags. You know what I mean? And a couple of years down the line, we're going to be like, that was my fucking guy. Like Christian Harris making me look good right now. Fucking love that guy. One of my first and biggest My Guys. So we don't miss on these episodes. It's a fact. 100% batting average. So I'm curious to see who you got. I feel like the guys that I'm going to list off may be a little telling. I've talked about most, if not all of them, glowingly over the course of the past couple months. So,
same. Obviously, we've done a lot of work over this past draft cycle. I think this was our biggest season that we've ever had in terms of just how many guys that we've watched, how many episodes we've done. So this is really like the culmination of all that work. And I like what we've decided to do with this My Guys episode as compared to what we've done in the past. In the past, we've really done three My Guys each, and they were mainly like day two type of players, guys that we wanted to plant our flags on. In this My Guys episode, we have offensive and defensive My Guys for every single round, the 1, 2, 3, and then we have a couple guys in day three that we like. So we're really getting some names out there that we love coming up. So I'm excited to get this going. Now let's get right to it. Let's start with our round one My Guys. Ray, who is your offensive round one My Guy?
Surprise, surprise here. It's going to be my OT1, JC Latham. This is a guy that I've been high on since summer. I feel like I'm just much higher than most people who do draft analysis. I feel like a lot of people lately have been having him in that kind of like the 20-ish range. And for me, I think he's a top five player in this draft class. He's a massive, massive right tackle, 6'6", 342, which I think is a really good weight for him. I think people were kind of expecting him to come in a little heavier. And he's got 35-plus inch arms, 11-inch hands. He's a mammoth, dude. And I feel like, because there's a lot of other freaks in this class in terms of Mims and Guyton, I feel like he kind of gets overlooked with his movement ability as well. This is a guy who's a top tier run blocker, in my opinion, not only in like a gap scheme, but I think he blocks well on the move too. When he locks up with defenders, he just really, it's over. His grip strength is really tremendous. And his kick slide, I love his ability to get out in pass protection. I know a lot of people kind of critique his footwork. They think he's a little heavy footed. Doesn't have the range. I don't know, man. I think this guy has all the tools to be a franchise tackle. I think he can slide over to left if he has to, but he's played the majority of his career at right tackle at this point. I think he played a little bit of right guard too. So I do think that if a team, like for instance, like the Jets draft him, I think he can play right guard and really transition well there just because of his ability to run block and just move people off the line of scrimmage. He's got some work to clean up with just the depth of his pass sets. I feel like that's where he gets beat. He leaves a little bit open for like an inside counter as well when he oversets, but he's got the length, got the power, he's got the athleticism. I think this guy is a home run pick, and he's got the mentality, which I love the most. He's an ass kicker. So I think he really brings a physical mentality to your offensive line, which I think is needed.
Yeah, I know you have been leading the charge with the JC Latham talk. I am not far behind you either. And I really agree. I think people who have him in the 20s just are overlooking the power and the movement skills that he has. I have him as a top 10 player as well. And my second offensive tackle ranked just ahead of Olufashanu. I had them flipped in the last month or so. But I agree. I think Latham, franchise right tackle or left tackle. And I think teams that maybe are set at tackle can also play him at guard for the early portion of his career. I agree. Home run pick for anybody in the first round. For me, my offensive, my guy in the first round is Troy Fautanu. I know, surprise, it's not Malik Nabers, even though I do have Malik Nabers insanely high on my big boards. I have Troy Fautanu at number 11 right now on my big board. Think he could play in almost any scheme at any position along the offensive line. He's quick off the snap, and the way he gets out and he can run, really dangerous in the second level. His feet are the best trait of his game. He can slide and mirror with ease and fluidity. He has active hands, and he's violent in the second level. I could see Fautanu being a top 15 tackle in the league, but I do believe that he's an all-pro interior player when he gets to the next level. This is not the same type of player that we were talking about in the last few years, like a Peter Skoronski or even a Graham Barton in this draft where the length is a concern. He's got length to go along with it and the movement skills. I think sky's the limit for this guy. I am so curious to see what his landing spot is and what team takes him and where they actually play him, because I do think he can stick at left tackle. But if he's in a, if he's moved into the interior, man, this guy is an all-pro, Pro Bowl type of player in the first round. So Troy Fautauner from Washington is my first round my guy.
Yeah, he's a safe pick, dude. He's really been on a rocket ship since the combine too. I feel like people are just really hyping him up. So I do, I'm of the mindset where I think it may be a little overblown at this point. So I still think maybe his landing spots can be somewhere in that 20 range. But I am curious to see where he goes, because like, he looked so good and just such a natural athlete at the combine. So he could go high, but I do think maybe somewhere in the 20s he'll end up going. I do think he ends up playing guard, at least to start his career.
Yeah, and I think if he gets into the 20s, that's just such a good value for
such a
team.
Safe pick.
It really is. He, like you said, I think he is one of the safest players in this first round that you can take. Let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball. Who's your first round defensive, my guy?
I'm going edge one again. This is someone I've been talking about for well over a year, actually, since he decided to stay in school. But Jared Verse from Florida State.
Nice.
Formerly of UA, University of Albany. I got to represent my Great Danes here. But this guy is just, we're talking about safe picks. I think this is the safest pick in the draft, personally. And he's got upside the boot as well. He's just, the name of this guy's game is power. He's powerful, explosive, and he's fucking violent, which I love to see. He's someone who, he plays through your chest. And that's how he starts. That's why he just gets respect immediately, because that's the name of his game. Like, you have to respect the power, and it opens up so many other doors for him. He's the last 2 years at Florida State, he's just been a dominant force off the edge. He's twitchy. He had a really great combine as well. I don't have the numbers up right now. I think he was RAS was over 9.5, if I'm not mistaken. So this is a guy, he's got the athleticism to boot. He's got the length. I don't really see a flaw in this guy's game. He can play the run. So I think he's someone who's going to come in to the league from day one. I think prototypically is a 4-3 end. I want him with his hand in the ground. And I think he's going to be a 7-plus sack guy as a rookie and be a consistent 10-plus sack guy in the NFL.
Yeah, it's funny. I think a lot of these edges are getting pushed down a little bit. And maybe that's the right landing spot for them. But I agree. Verse, so safe with just his overall power and just have his athletic makeup. I don't have him as my edge one. I have Dallas Turner as my edge one, just because I think the athletic upside of Dallas Turner is a little higher. But I agree. First year in the league, I could see Jared Verse taking off as a rookie. He's just ultra competitive, ultra tough. I could see him having a similar type season to a Will Anderson just had last year. For me, I'm going to go to one of my favorite edges in this class, a guy that I have also been talking about for over a year. It's Leiatu Latu from UCLA. Everybody kind of knows the story at this point, but forced to medically retire at Washington just a few seasons ago. And then he transfers to UCLA after he's cleared and has two of the best back-to-back seasons I've seen from an edge in the last few years. The hand fighting is just unbelievable. The guy is an absolute technician who just refuses to be blocked. No matter what game you put on of UCLA, he is the first guy you notice on that defense. He is always around the football. He's always in the backfield, always making plays. He's got moves for days, and he's got counters to go along with it. And honestly, with all the bad tackle play that we've seen in the NFL the past few seasons, I really think Latu's going to feast just being a hand-fighting technician. I also think he put some of those athletic concerns to bed during his work at the combine. I think at over 265 pounds, he ran 4.6. I think that was well good enough for him. And he's got some explosive traits with the jumping ability too. I think even with his lack of true length, his skill and technique is just so high. I cannot see him being not being a 10-plus sack guy in his career. If all clears with the medical, he will be a Pro Bowl type of player in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you've been way higher on Latu for me than me, rather. But there's no denying he's so refined as a pass rusher. His just diverse moveset, moves with a wide range of tools in the toolbox, which you love to see. My biggest concern with him is just the power profile. I think that's going to limit him just a tad bit, but I mean, the medicals are also the major concern with this guy. So if those all pass, this guy's going to be a top 20 player in this draft class, I think, pretty safely.
Yep. All right, let's go to round two. Who you got for your offensive round two, my guy?
This is where it starts getting tough, I feel like, the decisions, because there's just so many guys I love in the second and third round range.
Yeah.
Especially even at the position that I'm choosing here. So I'm going with Roman Wilson from Michigan, the wide receiver. This is a guy, he's a fun evaluation, just because he's coming from that Michigan offense where they run the ball a lot, so he doesn't really get too many looks. So this past season, he only had 48 catches for 789 yards, but he had 12 touchdowns. When you watch this guy, he's just got juice. The way he separates, he like kind of accelerates at a different gear than people. He's also someone, though he's undersized, I think, what is he, 5'10 and a half, 186, so a little smaller. He's probably going to be a slot receiver, but I think his lightning quick feet and his diverse releases really do help him get off the line against those bigger corners. So I think he can play outside just because his releases are so good and quick. He's someone I think he can stretch the field vertically and horizontally. I think in college, he did a really good job on those like mid-range to shallow crossers. And with the ball in his hands, he's pretty electric. Some of the concerns with him, he's not someone who's going to win the catch point, obviously, just because he's a little bit smaller. But he's someone with the ball, is like when the ball's thrown to him and he gets his hands on it, he's not dropping it. He only has 3 drops the last 2 years, which is really impressive too. So I think he'll end up going in the second. If he falls to the third, he's an absolute steal. But it's someone who's going to come in and be able to start from day one. I think he's going to be a quarterback's best friend at the slot on those short and intermediate routes. So that's my guy for round two on offense.
Yeah, I really love Roman Wilson's game. Wish he showed a little bit more after the catch. I think he only had missed tackles forced this past season. But I agree with the route running and the separation that he can create with his feet. I think there are traits there that it'll come. Maybe it's not a guy that I'm throwing screens to every single drive, but the looks over the middle of the field that he can give you will be great. And like you said, quarterback's best friend. I agree. I'm actually going to stay with the wide receivers, and I'm also going to pick sort of an undersized wide receiver. I'm rolling with Ladd McConkey here in the second round. I think outside of the big three with Marvin Harrison, Neighbors, and Odunze, I think this is the receiver with the highest floor in this draft. McConkey is just so nuanced and so polished in his route running. I think this is a guy that I could have put on the NFL field last year and been okay with him playing as my slot receiver. But I don't think he's just a slot-only type of guy. His acceleration and his twitch off the line of scrimmage, I think, gives him the ability to play outside. You saw it even at the combine. I mean, ran sub 4.4. I think he was 4.39. So he does have that long speed that you want playing in the outside. But, man, over the middle, this guy is just an absolute matchup nightmare. He's too quick for linebackers. And I think he's just gotten too much polish for anybody to really match up with him in the slot. I think if he could stay healthy, which is a big thing for him, I think he's perennial 85-plus reception-type player every single season in the NFL.
Yeah, you said super high floor in this guy. He's a higher floor than Roman Wilson. Similar mold, I feel like, just as
yes.
Being a little undersized, but I think the ability to play inside and out. But what stands about McConkey is his route running plan. Like, you know how you have a pass rush plan? I feel like when edge rushers just know how to attack tackles, he just knows how to attack corners. He knows what he needs to do to win, whether it's off the line of scrimmage or at the stem. He just knows how to separate. He's just a pro. He was a pro playing in college this past year. It seems like Georgia has a couple of those guys as skill positions with Brock Bowers too. So he's someone I think, like you said, he'll be able to be either slot or outside from day one and be really, really reliable for a quarterback. I love the idea of him going to Tennessee. I feel like him with Will Levis with their second round pick, I think that'd be a really good get for someone like him.
Yeah, that'd be a fun trio with him, D-Hop, and Calvin Ridley. Just a lot of route running in that trio. I like
it.
All right, let's go to defense. Round two, my guy on the defensive side of the ball. Who you got?
I'm going back to the edge market here. I'm going Jonah Ellis from Utah.
Love it.
Yeah, dude. This is someone I was talking to you before the pod, but I feel like because we did edges so long ago, I fucking forgot about Jonah. When watching his tape again, I fucking love this guy. He's a little bit lighter. I think he weighed in at 248 at the combine, if I'm not mistaken. So I think he had to bulk up. He didn't test. So I think that's probably him drinking a ton of water and shit, really getting the scale up a little bit. But he's got 33-inch arms too. So he's got the length that you really require as an edge rusher. 6'2". So he's probably going to be a stand-up edge in a 3-4 scheme. But you talked about it with Latu. This I think the same thing can be said with him. His pass rush plan and his toolbox that he has already is so advanced for a college position, college edge rusher. That inside spin that he always goes to, I think he uses it a little too much. I think I talked about it on the edge episode, but it's a winner. It's a winning move that he already has, an NFL move that he had in college. So I really love that. This past season, he had 12 sacks, 16 tackles for a loss, and 39 pressures. He really was just wreaked havoc on games in college. So despite his undersize, I do think he even transitioned speed to power a little bit better than he gets credit for, especially given his smaller frame. It's not something that you'd really anticipate him doing well, but I think just because he has so many tools that offensive tackles are kind of caught off guard when he does throw out the speed to power in him. So I think he's got to get a little stronger and a little bit more filled out to really be able to play on early downs in the NFL. But from day one, he's going to be having a role on third down, that's for sure. And I think he can develop into a solid enough player, a strong enough player on the edge to set the edge in a 3-4 scheme where he'll be an every down player by year two.
Yeah, I think at this point, he's just a situational pass rusher. But the way that the NFL has just been moving, like, there are very few 3-down players in the NFL. Everybody's in a rotation. So these guys are starting level players, even if he's not in always on first downs. I agree. This was a guy I had insanely high after the tape evaluation. We did this pre-combine, and I had him at edge 5. He's moved down a little bit after some of the athletic testing from some other players. But, man, I completely agree. In the same mold as Latu, just not as big and as powerful as Latu, I think. But the package of moves that he has, you mentioned that counter spin. He has a ghost move that I absolutely love. His speed to power, like you said, is fantastic. His hands are extremely violent, extremely quick, always reworking. Even when he disengages, he's quick to latch back on. I think he just needs to add strength, like you said. But, man, I see him getting pushed down boards a little bit. I've seen him start to fall into that third round range. That is such good value if you get him in the third round. My God, like this guy, I think he can come in as a rotational guy and be a 7-plus sack guy just because of his nuance and his plan that he's got. That's a great call out there. For me, in round two, a guy that we covered just a few episodes ago at a linebacker position, I got Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M as my second round defensive, my guy. If I'm betting on any of these linebackers to be top 10 at the position, it's Cooper. He is big, he's long, he's fast, and this new age style of linebacker, he really fits the mold. He has legit sideline to sideline speed, and the way he works through traffic, especially in the run game, is just really special. He goes unblocked so often. He is just so shifty, so twitchy, and slippery in between blocks. It's really, really special. He's the perfect type of linebacker in this modern game with all the speed and agility as quarterbacks have. As runners now, he makes the perfect quarterback spy with his closing speed and his long wingspan to make tackles outside of his radius. I do think he needs to add on a little bit more weight, especially in that lower half. But, man, this is a guy that I'm going to feel really good about putting on the field day one and just letting him wreak havoc against quarterbacks. He is just fantastic in the middle of the field.
I mean, I can't really add on anything that you just said. I feel like you checked off every box that I have on him. He's my linebacker 1-2 for those exact same reasons. He's just the modern guy. He's got the athleticism and the length that you really covet the position. So I do agree he's got to put on a little bit more weight, but he's someone who's going to be an impact starter from day one for sure.
Right. Let's roll on to round three. Honestly, more players. I love this range of day two players. Like, there are a lot of good guys falling in this like top 75, top 90 type of area. Who do you got as your round three offensive, my guy?
The more I start thinking about guys in this range, the more I want the Jets to trade back.
Yeah, I know.
It's just so many good players in this range, man. So for me, on my day three offensive guy, I'm going to go Dominic Pooney from Kansas. Someone I talked about on the tackle ranking episode a while back. Obviously talked about him on the interior offensive lineman rankings. He's played left guard and left tackle for Kansas the last couple of years. And he's just a damn good football player, man. He's a big guy, 6'5", 313. He's got those 33-plus inch arms, which you'd think that would allow him to stay at tackle, but he's a little bit heavier footed. He ran a 5.35 40 with a 1.86 10-yard split, so he's not really the most athletic or explosive type of guy. But his ability to block on the move, despite the lack of athleticism is really impressive. He plays it so under control on the move. He's accurate when he strikes. He likes to take linebackers' heads off, which I love. This is someone who I think he's got scheme versatility in that he can play in a gap or a zone scheme. And also, he can kick out the tackle if you really need help there. I think he could probably play right tackle and survive a couple games. But this is a guy, I think he's a day one starter as a guard. And I think he's going to be, in a couple years, you'll look back and be like, wow, we were able to get a really, really good starter, borderline pro bowler, on late day two. So I really do love him as a prospect. I think he's really safe.
Yeah, I think him moving to the interior is going to help out his game so much. I think the big knock for me that I had on him playing tackle was that he stands a little too upright. He doesn't play with great like natural leverage. But I think shifting him into guard, it starts to alleviate some of those worries, and he can just get out and fire out of his stance and play with that nasty edge from the interior that he has. I agree. I think third round is great value for him. Slides his feet really, really well. And I agree. I think he could play 1 through 5 on that offensive line and really be a Swiss Army knife for a team. For me, I'm also going to look on the interior offensive line in the third round. I'm looking at Cooper Beebe. I know this is a guy that I'm a little bit higher on than you guys. But I just love what this guy does, man. He's just like the model of consistency at the college level for an interior player. He's not going to really flash on tape with his athleticism, but his raw power definitely shows, and it's going to play in the NFL. As an interior player, his punch is violent and effective. He also has an extremely high football IQ. He sniffs out twists and stunts and finds extra blitzers. He's always looking for the unblocked man. He can really anchor down versus the strongest interior defensive lineman. He did an excellent job this past season against Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy. I think he could be an absolute force in a gap scheme and a player that maybe people don't talk about all the time in the NFL. But when you look at it, he's got 3 to 4 Pro Bowls in his NFL career and has a long tenured career. I think like guys like Joel Bitonio, who maybe don't get a ton of love, but that raw power and that consistency just play at the next level, and he'll have a long career.
That's a good pull. I like that. I like that.
Hey, you like that one?
Yeah, that was good.
Football guys. All right, let's move on to the defensive side of the ball. Who you got for defensive, my guy, in round 3?
I'm going Chris Abrams-Drain. This is a guy who I think you were very surprised when I had him in my top. I think he was number 5 for my corner.
He was number 5 for you.
Yeah, I love this fucking player, man. I'm not the highest on this cornerback group as a whole in terms of top end talents. I don't know if there's going to be a true number 1 corner in this class. I'm not really as high on the market as everyone else is, but I think if you can get Chris Abrams-Drain in round 3, dude, I fucking love that value. He's someone with high football intelligence. He's always communicating on the back end, really, really smart with passing routes off and zone coverage. He can play inside, outside. Despite the being like a little bit smaller frame, I think he's 173 weight in that, but he's 5'11 and a half and he had 31 plus inch arms. So he's got length where he can play outside, in my opinion. He may be better suited for a slot role, but either way, he's going to be a starting cornerback in this game. And my favorite trait about him is his ball skills. He had 11 pass breakups this past season and 4 picks, which is just incredible. But to go deeper into just regardless of the stats, there's no panic in this guy's game. When he gets stacked and he has to really recover going deep and turn his head around and find the ball, he doesn't get grabby at all. And he's able to identify the ball and make a play on it so easily. He looks like a wide receiver out there. So I think that's the skill that's going to help him translate to the league the best. And I do think he's a star from day one, personally. I think this is going to be someone – he reminded me of McDuffie a little bit on Kansas City. I think though he's undersized, he can play anywhere, and he's going to be a damn good fucking player in the pros.
Yeah, I think I like him more in the slot than outside than you do. You're a little bit higher on him, but I also had him – I think he's a top 10 corner in this draft. And I think the move to slot for him is going to mask some of the weaknesses and really highlight some of his strengths. I think the weaknesses for me was that he gave up too many big plays on the outside. And especially in the red zone, teams kind of hunted him and his smaller size in the red zone. And I think that move to slot will help him. And just along with that, the strengths, the change of direction, the changing of the hips, is just outstanding. He's just fluid and an easy mover. So I think that move to slot is going to be great for him. And you mentioned it, the nasty nature that this guy plays with is the temperament that you want for your corners. The way he attacks the football at the catch point is really special for an undersized player like that. Like, he attacks the ball like he's 6'2 even playing at, you know, maybe 5'10". So Chris Abrams drain, I agree. Third round, I think it's a great spot for him. I'm curious to see where some of these other slot players go. I know we love Mikey S too. I think maybe he's a second round player, but if you can get Abrams drain in the third round, I think that's good value.
For sure.
All right. My round three defensive player. It's a guy that you were actually a little higher on, but I've been talking him up more during the season. It's Dwayne Carter from Duke. I kind of comped his play to Cooper Beebe a little bit, just like the model of consistency, not like a flashy player at all, but he's just effective and he's just a true professional. This is the only three-time captain ever at Duke. And Carter has been consistent. He's been tough and he really helped turn this Duke defense into one of the best in the country last year. They were top 15 in points allowed last season. He's been one of the main reasons for that recent rise the last 3 years. He's got some pass rush upside, which I really love, because in this class of interior defensive linemen, we talked about it. There's not a lot of guys who are giving you much as pass rushers, and I think he really does give you some upside in that. He's got a really nice counter spin, and his club rip is just absolutely deadly. Name of his game is really power, and I think that power does play, and he was a little bit longer even than I expected. I think he had 33-inch arms. So Dwayne Carter, not going to be an overall flashy player, but I think in a rotation, he could be excellent. And I think this is a guy that you can play as a down lineman or three tech in an even front and an odd front. I think he's got position versatility in that aspect. So Dwayne Carter, maybe this isn't a guy that if your team drafts him in round three, you're going to be like, oh my God, like we just got such a steal. This guy is going to help your football team immediately. He is a pro's pro. And this is a guy that's going to have a really long NFL career.
You said it perfectly. I think I'm not sure if you touched on it, but his football intelligence and just intelligence overall outside off the field too, they rave about it. And I like you said, I think his length is really good. And I can't remember who it was in the Senior Bowl. Was it Bordellini or whatever, the guy from Wisconsin?
Yeah,
he
absolutely bitched Bordellini.
I felt bad. Like I think he walked over. I think he may have done the AI step over. it was brutal. But yeah, this guy is a powerful player, and you mentioned it. You can play even or odd fronts. He's versatile and high floor, which I think on day two, late day two, that's what the kind of player you're looking for.
Right. All right, let's get to our day three guys. How many day three guys? I have two each.
I did three each just because I'm better.
You're an overachiever. I like it. Yeah. All right. Give me your first offensive day three guy.
We'll touch on him pretty quick, but I'm going quarterback Michael Pratt from Tulane.
All right, I like it.
Yeah, we got to get some of the quarterbacks involved. This is a guy who he was really impressive on tape. He's played 44 career college starts, which I think as the years go on, we really tell that you need to have a lot of college experience in order, and it helps translate to NFL so easily. I think those are the type of guys that get overlooked too. He played at like a little bit of a mid-major school, so he's not really getting all the headlines and everything, but he was a really productive football player. 2,400 yards, 22 touchdowns, 5 picks. He was really banged up this year too, but I think he's got one of, if not the best, but he's got a really good touch passer, which I love to see. You really can't teach touch, and I think he's got it in spades. And also, he's tough as nails too. There were times where he was getting just absolutely murdered, and he would stick into the pocket and make his throws accurately. I think that's a real big transition to the NFL. I feel like a lot of these guys coming from these major programs who just loaded with talent, they're always in clean pockets and they really don't have to ever worry about guys in their face. This is a guy who's constantly getting beat up and stick in there, really played through injuries too, which I love to see. I think he'll be someone who probably goes top of day three in the fourth round. He'll start out as a backup, but I think he could be a Kirk Cousins like trajectory. I think in a couple of years he can start, and I think he may be able to stick around as a starter. But at the very worst, you got a backup quarterback who's athletic, touch thrower, played a lot of football, and he can come in and win you some games as a spot starter. So I like Michael Pratt.
Yeah, we saw how many quarterbacks went down last year, how many backups needed to get elevated. This is maybe the only rookie outside of the guys who are going to be like first-round picks who are going to start most likely that I would feel comfortable throwing into an NFL game next season. I agree with you. I love his eyes, man. The way he can work safeties and linebackers with his eyes to find open spaces for his wide receivers is outstanding. And I think the big knock on him was the arm strength, but he can play on time, in structure, in rhythm. I think he's a guy that I would feel comfortable having as my backup, even as a rookie, honestly.
Yeah, he's not the toolsiest. So I think that's really what's gonna pushes him down board and stuff. Cause like you said, he doesn't have like the flashy arm that someone like Joe Milton or Spencer Rattler may have, but accurate, he's got touch and he's got toughness, which I think those are really more important than just raw arm strength.
Right. All right. Day three offensive players. It's time, Ray. Let's talk about Javon Baker from UCF. Let's do it.
You think he gets to day three?
I think he could go in round three. But I just think with the how many wide receivers there are in this class, I think some of these guys are just going to end up getting pushed down a little bit. So I have him as a day three guy right now. But I think if he goes in round three, it's still good value for him. Let's just talk about Javon Baker. Nobody destroys man coverage, honestly, quite like Javon Baker. Over the last two seasons, the only two players to have a higher yards per route run than Baker against one-on-one man coverage is Troy Franklin and Xavier Leggett. And Baker does this with far less screens than those two guys. He makes a living winning with his route running and his release package. He is silky smooth in the first part of his release package, and then getting in and out of his breaks is really special. It's not to mention, he's just an absolute dog in contested catch situations. His long speed is really the question, but no one in this draft, honestly, maybe besides Malik Nabers, moves opposing DBs more than Baker. I think he could be a number two in the NFL. I really think this guy is going to give somebody immediate production in the NFL. I think he's got a super high floor. And if there's a guy that I'm going to bet that's maybe outside a lot of people's top 15 wide receivers to be a top 25, top 30 wide receiver in the NFL, it's Javon Baker.
Yeah, I mean, you've been raving about him for a while now. He is really good against man coverage, and he's got the tools, I think, to be a number two wide receiver in the league.
Fuck, I fucking love this guy so much. I hope the Jets draft him. That'd be sick. I vowed to never get a young player's jersey again. I just can't do it with the Jets. But if Javon Baker got drafted to the Jets, I would get a Javon Baker jersey so fast.
Yeah, those day two, day three rookie jerseys are really tough. I have a tough experience with them personally, but yeah, shout out Jason sometimes.
Shout out Jason Morrow.
Hey man, I thought it was gonna be good. Did he? How many years did he play for us? Two.
That's all time bad.
Yeah, it is bad. It's tough.
That's all time bad. That's like you go to the stadium, like you're wearing the worst jersey of anybody.
Yeah. I think one, was it last year or 2 years ago, where we were trying to find a jersey? Oh, worse
it was last year, and I found somebody who had a Quentin Coples jersey. I think Jason Morrow's worse.
I think 100% Jason Morrow's worse. That's not even a question. Were they the same year?
They may have been.
We gotta look that up. Or maybe it was Sheldon Rankins that year.
Yeah. Let's go to defensive players. Who you got as your defensive my guy in day three?
Ooh, I was expecting to finish off offense. Who I got?
We can finish off offense.
You want to finish off offense?
Yeah, let's finish off offense.
We got a couple of guys. So I'm going to do quick with these last two that I have. So Bucky Irving from Oregon, the running back.
Nice.
I love this player. I loved him last year over summer too. He's a unique type player. He is 5'9", 192, so he's a little slender. He only ran a 4.55 40, but he's so elusive, man. He's got that one cut ability that it's just guys are really, I think he's deceptively fast too, where guys just don't really know what hit him. I don't think he's going to be a bell cow in the NFL by any means, but he's going to be a really good change of pace back. What he can do really well is really be a threat in the passing game. He had 56 catches this past year for 413 yards, two touchdowns, and running the ball, he had 186 carries for 1,180 yards and 11 touchdowns. So he can really do it all. He's a little more slender, so you really don't want him with that full like 20 carries a game workload. But as a change of pace back, give him 10 carries a game, I think he could be very, very effective.
Yeah, he's getting pushed down on the running back boards. And honestly, I mean, maybe it's just because of the long speed, because he didn't run that well at the combine. But honestly, like, I didn't expect him to run that well. And he plays faster than he ran at the combine, too. I really think he's like that Michael Carter type of player in the NFL. He is shifty, but I think the one thing that stood out to me is like he sheds tacklers like he's 215 pounds. Like he gets guys off of him pretty easily. Like it's really hard to it's really hard to wrap him up. He is extremely tough. Like he stiff arms guys. I really like Bucky Irving. And I agree. I think in a rotation, I would feel good giving him 15 carries, honestly. Like, I think he can handle the workload. So I really like Bucky Irvin. I think that's a good call out. And I'm not really sure why he's getting pushed down so far, because I've seen him in like that 10 range of running backs. And honestly, there's no way there's 10 running backs better than Bucky Irvin in this class.
Yeah, no shot.
I'm going to go to my last offensive my guy here. It's Tanner McLaughlin from Arizona, the tight end. McLaughlin's that kind of this new age tight end that won't give you much as an inline blocker, but as your oversized slot, he could be a real mismatch problem. Very good route runner. He really sells routes with his head and his shoulder fakes, but he also understands how to find the soft spots in zones. He's very heady in that area, but I think his best trait is when he's got the ball in his hands. He looks to run through people. He's elusive. He can hurdle people. He stiff arms people. Whatever you need to do to create more yards, he's going to do it. Extremely fiery after the catch, which I love. This is a versatile guy that I think you could throw screens to if he's playing out wide. I think this is a guy that you can use as a wing back from out in the backfield. I just love his competitive toughness and his fire. He needs to improve his blocking exponentially, but he plays so damn hard that I think this is a guy that he's going to get with coaches. He's going to want to do everything. He's going to bust his ass. So I think that is going to get him on the field. But I think his receiving prowess is going to get him on the field. Maybe not in year one, but in year two. I think there's a guy that can make some plays.
Yeah, I feel like you talked about him a lot as of late, I guess because we just did the tight end episode. I haven't really gotten a chance to watch him that much, but I know in this class there are a lot of those tweener type tight ends. So I gotta give him a watch, see how he looks.
Yeah, they played him so much in line at Arizona, and his in the NFL, that is going to completely flip. Like, he's almost never going to be an inline player. But that oversized slot position has just become so important to NFL teams creating mismatches. This is a mismatch piece. So he's a fun watch, honestly. When he's got the ball in his hands, it's absolutely electric. Who do you got for your last guy?
Yeah, I'm just gonna, I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't touch on him in this segment, but Jordan Whittington, been talking about him since the summer. Fucking love this guy. He's an old school.
When you sent over your my guys at first and you didn't have him, I was like, that has to be like a typo or something.
Yeah, I just forgot about him for a second. I think we originally said we'll only do two. I'm like, well, I got to do three now because I wanted to touch on the other two guys too. But he's a throwback type player. He's a big slot, 6'1", I think, 205, 10-inch hands. He's someone who's always like the third option in that Texas offense. I feel like he didn't really fit too well in like what they were trying to do. But I think in the NFL, he's going to be a guy who's going to win over the middle and do all the gritty work. I think he'll be a big third down type receiver to move the sticks. He gives me like a Jericho Cotchery vibes. I think he's going to be a steal. I think he probably won't start as a rookie, obviously. He'll be a late round pick. But I think in a couple of years, I think he in the mold of oh my God, why am I blanking? Buffalo's number one wide receiver right now. Khalil Shakir. Where like I was stunned when he fell as far as he did in the draft. I think it's gonna be similar to this, where like by year two he'll start getting incorporated in the offense, and then by year three he'll go in as a starter.
Yeah, I like the Jericho Cotchery call out. I was a massive Cotchery fan growing up. I kind of had him comp to Green Bay Alan Lazard, not New York Jets kicking a soccer ball Alan Lazard. But I think that play is that big slot that's just tough, physical, and can win on third down in like third and six situations. So I like the call out. I know that's been your boy. Let's move to defense. You want me to start here?
Yeah, you start.
All right, day three, defensive my guys. My first guy is Mo Camara from Colorado State, the edge. It's hard to argue against 30 career sacks and 45 tackles for losses. Camara is just bringing insane college production along with his unique build, and he can end up being a very good pass rush specialist. This guy, he's only 6'1", but he's around 250 pounds. He's got as much power as anybody in this edge class, and that first step quickness is devastating, and he's got really powerful leg drive to always work towards the quarterback. This is a guy that just plays his ass off every single play. He's got some moves. He's an experienced player. I think this guy makes a living on third down. These undersized guys are starting to become a little bit more prevalent in the NFL, thinking of like a Bryce Huff, a Hassan Reddick type of player. He's not going to give you what those guys are giving you, especially in year one, but man, this guy, I just love his competitive toughness, and that power, I think, will play even as an undersized guy.
Yeah, I mean, you got an undersized edge. I'll raise you one. I'll go Javon Solomon as one of my day three. My
nice. Love Javon Solomon too.
Yeah, dude, this is a strange build. He's about 6'1", but he's got those 33 plus his arms. And
yeah, he looks like he was in prison.
Very long arms, dude. He's got massive hands, like 10 and a half inch hands. And I think that's really what stands out to me is like he played in that weird three down front at Troy in college. It wasn't really used to his proper, I feel like, tools. And I think he'll be used more on the edge, obviously, in the NFL. But his hand strength is really what stood out to me. He's accurate hands and really moves people in the run game in particular. So I think once he fills out a little bit more too, he's only 247 pounds. I think he can play an every down role, but I think he'll probably be best fit in like a stand up edge role. And I think that he'll be a productive player. He in college, he had what, 16 sacks this past year, 18 tackles for a loss, 48 pressures. And that was in playing in that weird three down front. So I think the sky's the limit for this guy. I don't know if he ends up getting to day three, if I'm being completely honest, but if he does, he'll be a steal.
Yeah, he needs to add some weight, but he is so fun on tape, man. We talked about it watching him. It was like watching Will McDonald last year playing at Iowa State. He was playing as like that 4-eye, which was so stupid. Like, get him all the way out to a 9 position, let him go attack the quarterback. I love his leverage, man. His pad level is so low. He really takes low man wins to the next level. He was a high school standout as a wrestler. You can see it on tape with that grip strength and that leverage. I think he's going to be a really good, impactful player on third downs. Was the prison reference not good? Because this guy, you know what I mean? Like, that upper body, like, it looks like he's just been in prison, like, working out.
Push-ups and pull-ups, man. The DMOF routine.
All right. He's not a prison guy, though. He's a good guy. He's team captain at the Senior Bowl, not a prison guy, for anybody that was wondering.
Jesus.
Where are we? I've lost my whole train of thought.
Second defensive my guy.
day three defensive players. A guy we just touched on pretty recently, Dadrian Taylor Demerson from Texas Tech, the safety. The nickel position has just become so important in the NFL with all these elite wide receivers that work out of the slot. Demerson is a ball hawk who has great instincts. Over the last three seasons, he's got 10 interceptions. He throws great anticipation. He is quick to fire downhill. He's got the long speed that he can also play in that center field position and have true sideline to sideline speed as a safety. But I think his home is in that nickel where he can use his speed and that quick twitch against shifty wide receivers. He might be a special teams only guy when he first comes in the league, but I don't think that's a problem because this dude plays with his hair on fire every single play. But I think teams are going to fall in love with that ball skills and the ability to change games with turnovers has become so important. I think this is a guy that could really make an impact as your nickel, as your guarding slots.
So my guy for defense is another kind of undersized edge rusher. I guess I've just been talking about edge rusher so much, but Solomon Bird from USC. I touched on him a little bit, I think, on our edge episode. I think I may have mentioned him, but he's someone that every time I watch USC's defense, this guy stands out. He's a rare sixth-year player. He spent, I think, 4 seasons maybe at Wyoming before transferring to USC this last 2 years. But this past season, he had 11 tackles for loss and 6 sacks. And the year prior, he had 7.5 tackles for loss and 4 sacks. He's someone who's going to be a situational – well, he'll have to earn his way into being a situational pass rusher. He's someone that you want on third downs, probably a stand-up outside linebacker role. But he flashes me. He has a nice spin move. He's got tools. Really nice two-hand swipe. And I think what he does at the top of his rush is really impressive. He's not someone that you're going to be able to play early downs at all. He's going to need to fill out in the league. But he's got 33-plus inch arms. I think he weighed 257 pounds at the combine, 255 pounds. So I think he's the prototypical 3-4 outside linebacker. He'll have to earn his way into getting reps on the field. But he's gonna be, I think he could be, has a chance to be something. So he's gonna keep an eye out in like the 7th round or maybe even a UDFA.
Yeah, this is not a player that I've watched, admittedly, but I'll have to go back to the tape because I know that you were really high on him. You got one more?
No, I don't actually. Not for defense.
Okay. Should we run through these before we get out of here?
Yeah, we'll run through again. You want me to go with my guys?
Yeah, go with your guys.
Yeah, so on offensive, my first round, my guy was J.C. Latham, and I'm also going to have to shout out Grant Barton, too, just because I didn't get to mention him, but I fucking love Grant Barton. My second round was Roman Wilson, the wide receiver from Michigan. Third round was Dominic Pooney, the offensive lineman from Kansas. And then the day three guys, Jordan Whittington, wide receiver from Texas, Michael Pratt, quarterback from Tulane, and Bucky Irving, running back from Oregon. And then on the defensive side of the ball, Jared Verse, the edge rusher from Florida State and the University of Albany. Shout out Danes. Jonah Ellis, the edge rusher from Utah, and Chris Abrams-Drain, the cornerback from Missouri. Then on day three, Javon Solomon and Solomon Bird, edge rushers from Troy and USC, respectively.
Nice. So for me, on offense, my round one, my guy was Troy Fautanu. Also, shout out Malik Neighbors because you got a second shout out there. My round two, offensive my guy was Ladd McConkey, wide receiver from Georgia. Round three was Cooper Beebe, interior offensive lineman from Kansas State. And then my day three guys, Javon Baker, wide receiver from UCF, and Tanner McLaughlin, tight end from Arizona. For my defensive, my guys, in round one, it's Leatu Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA. Round two was Edrin Cooper, the linebacker out of Texas A&M. In round three was Dwayne Carter, the interior defensive lineman from Duke. And then my day three guys, Muhammad Kamara, edge rusher from Colorado State, and Dadrian Taylor-Demerson, safety out of Texas Tech. All right, Ray. Planting the flags.
I love it. What are we, a little bit of over a week out? It's coming quick.
Just over a week out. So excited for the draft to get going. Hopefully get some Jets buzz about trading back because we talked about it. The second round, third round guys, I love it. I need another pick.
It's every year, though. Every year, I love that shit. I love that range.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for us here on Between Two Tackles. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed our My Guys episode. Stay locked in with us. We got a lot of good stuff coming leading up to the draft. We got favorite prospect fits coming out. We got our big boards coming out. We got our final predictive mock to get released right before the draft. So stay locked in for all of that. As always, please rate and subscribe to the pod and follow our Twitter at @2Tackles2. You can also find us on underdogpodcast.com and stick with us as we head towards this 2024 NFL draft. Ray, my friend, appreciate you.